page 99, the first paragraph there. Okay, the Nedaber Atom Inyan Ha'avov and Ofer Ha'em Shlosha. Until now we spoke about Kavod and Yira, and now on Ahava, and how Hasidus applies to Avas Hashem. And they apply to three different areas of Ahava: Simcha, Dveikus, and Kina. Let's see what each one of these is. Start with Hine Inyan Ha'ava Hu Sheyeh Ha'olam Choshech U'Mesad Mamish Al Kirvoso Yisbara V'Rodei Vachar Kedushaso. The general idea of Ahava, aside from the specific mitzvahs, that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about the Midah of Chasidus, where a person has an attitude of Ahava beyond the commands of what it means Avas Hashem. So that is, a person should have a tremendous desire to get closer to the Ribbono Shel Olam, and to constantly seek and run after Kedusha, because that's the way that you get closer to the Ribbono Shel Olam, by getting closer to Kedusha. Kasher yirdof ish achar dover hanechmad mimenu chemda aza. Similar to that which a person pursues things that he really are very, very precious to him. So the more precious a thing is to a person, the more he pursues it. That's how he should pursue the Ribbono Shel Olam. Ad she aloha skora shmo yisborach the diber b'tihilosav the ha'eshek b'divrei torosav elokuso yisborach shashua v'onig mamish, until it comes to a point where a person has such a great desire to get closer to the Ribbono Shel Olam that just mentioning his name, meaning davening, or speaking his praises, or being involved in Torah, which is Ratzon Hashem, right, or involved in godly ideas and concepts, which is also getting closer to the Ribbono Shel Olam by understanding him, by knowing him. So it becomes something that is shashua va'onig mamish, becomes something that is pleasurable to a person. It's a favorite pastime for the person. Like a person loves his the wife of his youth, or he loves his only child, tremendous love. This is the dugma, the model of how much a person's love for the Ribbono Shel Olam should be all invasive and all encompassing. Asher afilo hadibur ba yela nachas v'tanu. Just speaking about the Ribbono Shel Olam, just speaking about the example, speaking about the child, speaking about the spouse, is a nachas and a tainug, because it reminds you of the person and you have such a tremendous connection to that person that just speaking about them makes you happy. The Rebbe says the same thing about Klal Yisrael, that just speaking about Ephraim, is referring to Klal Yisrael as Ephraim, right? Just speaking about him, I have tremendous gaguin to remember him even more. And the result of this is that a person who really loves the Ribbono Shel Olam, so he won't find excuses why to exempt himself from Avodas Hashem, unless it's impossible. But if there's any chance that a person can serve the Ribbono Shel Olam in some way, he's not going to look for excuses not to do it, because it's a time of, it's something that's enjoyable to him to do. So why would he want to get out of it? He's not going to need anything to give him an incentive or to give him what's the word? Ritzui, the pisui means to convince him, right? Or seduce him to have to do Ratzon Hashem. You're not going to be convinced. It's something he's going to do on his own. Ela adarabba, libo yisi'uhu v'yiritsuhu eleho, im lo ye'iku gotlo shimanuhu. His own desire will be to want to serve the Ribbono Shel Olam as much as possible, do mitzvahs, to learn Torah, unless there's something that prevents him and makes it impossible. In yizol samida hanechmedes asher eleho zochu hachasidim arishonu kedoshe yadu. this is something that is possible to achieve, because the Hasidim HaRishonim, right, reached this level. K'maymer David HaMelech Olav HaShalom, K'ayo Taro Galafike Mayim Kein Nafshi Taro Yilech Elokim Soma Nafshi L'Elokim L'Kel Chai Mosai Ovo V'Ere Pnei Elokim. David HaMelech expressed that feeling that like a ram, right, Taro Galafike Mayim, he what's it called, he runs to a watering hole. So too, Rabbanu Shalom, I run after you like something I thirst after. Omer nichsufa v'gam kol sa nafshi l'chas v'Hashem. I have tremendous desire and kalus nefesh. I chalish for what's it called to have a connection to the Rabbanu Shalom. V'omer tzoma l'cha nafshi kom alecha besori kol ze mitokef atshuka shehoye mishtokek lo yisborach. David HaMelech reached that level of a tremendous desire of having a closeness to the Rabbanu Shalom. Kenyan Mashikosov Hanovi, Lishimcha Lizikrcha Tavas Nefesh. Just to mention your name and to remember you is Tavas Nefesh, is something that is a tremendous desire of mine. Vaomer Nafshi Ivisicha Balaila Afruchi Bekirbi Ashachrecha. Right, I want you at night, and my spirit, what's it called, wants to get you in the morning too. The David Asmu Omar im Zechartiho al Yitzui Bashmoros Egeboch Bir Haonig Vashashua Shahoyalo Vidabrobo Uvishvacha Visboroshimo. David HaMelech expressed a tremendous pleasure that he got in just speaking about the Rabbanu Shalom and praising him, and in that way having some kind of connection. Va Omar Veshtasha Mitzosecha Shirohofti Va Omar Gam Aidosecha Shashua. They're all Shashua, means something that a person revels in. That's the level that a person should reach. That's the chasidus of Ava, not just the mekayim the mitzvah of Ava, but to mamish feel beyond any specific boundaries the tremendous cheshek to have a closest to the Rabbanu Shalom. That is the maila of Ava when it comes to chassidus. And for a person to have to feel like that, he has to give an attitude towards the Rabbanu Shalom that engenders that. It starts with an attitude, and you build on that attitude. Okay, so that is the first, what you call them, we'll see that leads to tremendous simcha. Person has tremendous joy in serving the Rabbanu Shalom. It's not a bother, so he doesn't look to get out of it or put people out of it. It says that people who don't have the right attitude, so they serve the Rabbanu Shalom begrudgingly because they have to. So those kind of people, I heard from Rabbi Hollander, or saw that he wrote years ago, that those people don't have 613 mitzvahs, they have 613 problems. Every mitzvah is a problem they have to solve. They want to do it, and they will do it, but they have to find a heter for here and a kula over here or whatever, because really, if they didn't have to, they wouldn't do it. But because they have to, so they'll do it. But if they can find a way to make it easier for themselves, they'll get out of it. But somebody who has a tremendous love for the Rabbanu Shalom, and he does this because he really wants to, not because he feels an imposition, then he's not looking for heterim, just the opposite. Every chance he can have to find a way to do it better, right? If he's potter from mitzvah, to find a way that he can become chayiv in the mitzvah, because he's looking for opportunities to have that closeness to the Rabbanu Shalom, he's going to do that. So he doesn't have 613 problems. He has 613 opportunities to be able to find ways of getting closer to the Rabbanu Shalom. So that's the difference between a person who has Ava and a person who doesn't have this kind of Ava.
This is a quality in the mitzvah, not necessarily in Ava.
What do you mean?
Meaning that...
No, the quality comes and is expressed in how a person approaches mitzvahs because of his attitude, because of his Ava. If you have this kind of attitude, then you'll approach mitzvahs this way.
I think his point is just opposite. The same thing, idea, but it's just other direction. He's explaining mitzvahs. The way to have chassidus and mitzvahs is to do it with such an ava.
No, he's not. He's talking about mitzvahs. He's talking about an attitude that a person has towards the Rabbanu Shalom.
He's talking about ofen chassidah. He's talking about the chassidah. We start off in the paragraph. The chassidus starts off in Maisa, then it goes to Ofen Asiya. Ofen Asiya is two parts: Yur and Ahava. So he's explaining how in all the mitzvahs and everything he does, not talking the mitzvahs, you know, per se, but in all his avodah, the chassidus, the thing shows it then of how he does it is with this ahava.
That's not what he says here. He says here he's talking about the anothim of ahava itself. He starts off with simcha, right? And that in your ahava, who she adam choshek umesava mamish al kirvoso yisborach, not on asiyas mitzvahs. Has an attitude towards wanting to get closer to the Bamish.
If you go back a few pages, it says Achil Hashinim and Chassidus will open Asiya. And it says Yuran Ava.
Yeah, okay, but that Asiya, right, has to come from an attitude to begin with. That's what he's starting over here. With a simcha of wanting to get closer to the Bamish. And the male, if you have that attitude, then when it comes to doing mitzvahs or whatever, you'll do with them and we talk that av. Again, Perek Yutes, we're on Abeis, who are simcha. The second branch of Ava is simcha. Okay, do I have it? Or? Okay. Who ikur gadol b'avoda? Simcha is a foundation of avoda sashem. For whom Asher David Mazir va'omer Ivdu es Hashem b'simcha Bo lefana b'rinona va'omer v'tzadikim yismechu yaltzu lefnei Elokim v'yosisu b'simcha. All these things, the tzadikim are happy, right? Va'omeru chazal ein hashchina shore ele mito simcha shol mitzvah. The shchina only comes to a Navi when he's b'simcha shol mitzvah. Okay. The Alapasik Shulchan Lamala Ivdus Hashem Besimcha Omru B'Medrash Omru B'Ebo Shtia Omeg Lispal Yehlibcha Sameach Alecho Shatom Lispal Elokim She'en Ki Yotzebo Ki Zosi HaSimcha Amitis She'a Libo Shul Odom Olaz Al Shul Zoche Lavo Lifnei Adon Yisborach She'en Kamohu. That is the real Simcha. Simcha is you're happy to be able to serve the Rabban Shalom V'lasov B'Torosov Mitzvosov She'em HaShlemes Amiti V'Yokar HaNitzchi. Those are the real perfection, and that is what is really precious eternally, and therefore that should bring a person tremendous simcha. The Omar Shlomo, I will finish the paragraph and then I'll go over and say what I want to say. The Omar Shlomo b'moshel hachochma, moshcheini acharecho narutzi, narutzo, heviyami hamelech hadorov, nagilo v'nismechobach. In Shir HaShirim, Shlomo HaMelech said that we should follow the Rabbanu Shalom and be attracted to him, right, and have tremendous simcha in being able to cleave and have a connection to the Rabbanu Shalom. Kichol ma shezocha ha'adam likonis yosef afonu b'chadra yedias gedulas yisbarach. When a person is zocha to come closer to the Rabbanu Shalom, to know more and to appreciate more, yosef tigdal ba simcha, the more simcha he has for what he's accomplished and what he knows and what he's achieved and how close he is to the Rabbanu Shalom. The Yalibo Sos Bekirbo, he should be happy, his heart should be happy within him. The Omer Yismach Yisrael Ba'oso B'nei Tzion Agil Malkom, another pasuk. Klal Yisrael should be happy with the one who made them, and B'nei Tzion Agil Malkom should be happy that we have a connection to the king. The David Shekvar Higiel HaMaila Hazo Shir Godel. David HaMelech reaches tremendous level of Kirvo Hashem, of being close to the Rabbanu Shalom. Right? Omar Yerov Alof Sichi Anochi Esmach Bashem. Take tremendous joy in having that closeness to the Rabbanu Shalom. The Omar Va'avoa El Mizbeach Elokim El Simchas Gili Va'odcha B'Kinur Elokim Elokai. Same thing. I'll come to the Mizbeach of the Rabbanu Shalom with tremendous Simcha. Va'omar Taranen Osfosai Ki Azamr Loch V'Nafshi Asher Padisa. See from all of these psukim that the tremendous joy that David HaMelech had in having that closeness to the Rabbanu Shalom. He says that my lips should quiver themselves out of simcha. When he was osik in praising the Rabbanu Shalom and recognizing the milas and attributes of the Rabbanu Shalom, his lips moved with simcha on their own. B'cholzem migodul hislatus nafsho shehoysa mislahetes b'simchos olafanov. All of this is because his neshama was so geared to feel so happy that it affected his body even without his control. Humashasim v'nafshi asher padisa. Umatzinu shenisraim HaKadosh Baruch HaYisrael meshechisru t'nai zeh v'avodosam. The Rabban Shem complains that Klal Yisrael don't have this condition in their avodas Hashem. Hu shenemar tachas asher avadat Hashem alokech v'simcha v'tuv levav. You certainly, you did mitzvahs, but you didn't do it with tremendous joy and with a good heart. The David Levisha Ross Israel the Asis Nadvam Abinyan Habayas Shikvarigula Mailazos, when David Amela saw how much Klal Yisrael was so happy to donate to the Binyan Beis Hamikdash, in his time he collected the monies. He even wasn't able to build it. And in the end Shlomo HaMelech didn't build it with that money either, because David should have used it to support Aniyim in a time of famine. Yispal aleim shetiskayim amidah tovim v'lo sosur. David HaMelech said a tefillah that tremendous level they reached of having tremendous joy in being able to give to the Mikdash, to be able to have that connection to the Rabbanu Shalom, he davened that it should remain with them. Humashikosu v'ato amcha hanimtso po ra'isi b'simcha l'snadi l'cho Hashem elokei Avraham Yitzchak v'Yisrael avoseinu shomra zos li'olam li'yetzer machshavos l'vavamecha v'hochin l'vavamelecha. He davened that the Rabbanu Shalom should see to it that this feeling they had should remain, shouldn't dissipate, it shouldn't go away. Okay, that is the second branch, is simcha. What do you see from here? Simcha is not stam to be happy. There is no mitzvah just to be happy. It's a nice thing to be happy, but it's being happy with something. So the greatest simcha is being happy with avodas Hashem. That's ivduas Hashem b'simcha. And it doesn't necessarily mean that you're jumping up and down with joy, right? In other words, what is commonly understood as ba'olam ye adam, what's it called, b'simcha, mitzvah lios b'simcha tamid. There's no such thing as mitzvah lios b'simcha tamid. There's an inyan to be b'simcha shel mitzvah tamid, but not lios b'simcha. It's not a person to walk around, sing songs, jump up and down, right? Go in vans with music blaring. There is no mitzvah in that. It's stam bittel zman. The mitzvah is to be happy with the ikar simcha. Simcha shel mitzvah means being happy with doing a mitzvah, being happy with learning Torah, being happy with being an Eved Hashem, right? That you're ivduas Hashem b'simcha. Simcha itself is an avoda. It's not stam, an emotion to be happy, and there's a mitzvah in stam being happy. It's a mitzvah to feel happy with being an Eved Hashem, avodas Hashem, Torah Hashem, whatever it may be. And that's why it could be that a person, the emotion is not necessarily happiness. Sometimes it says, what's it called, ivduas Hashem b'simcha, and another place says ivduas Hashem b'yira. The chora, they don't go together. If your yira is fear, trepidation, simcha is joy, so how can you be kind both of them? So the Sefer HaYikarim says like this. He says that I don't know if he gives this mashal or not. If somebody is, what's it called, has a child on his shoulders, and he's afraid the kid's going to fall off, but he's very happy, right, that he's keeping the kid. He's afraid every second to make sure that he doesn't move the wrong kind of movements where the kid's going to fall off his shoulders and get hurt. At the same time, he's tremendously happy to have his child on the shoulders, and he knows that he's doing what's right. He says that, what's it called, that simcha can mean being happy and satisfied with knowing what you're doing is right. So a person who has yira, he has tremendous fear, but he knows that that's the emotion he's supposed to have now. So he has an inner simcha, being happy that he has that fear. Right? It's a mibisori echezer. I can tell you, I think I mentioned this before, but by nature, right, I'm a person who finds it very hard to cry for anything. Except maybe for things that mean nothing. Like sometimes you read a novel or something, or see a picture or something that has no meaning in reality. It's stam, and you end up with tears at the end of the book or tears at the end of the picture or whatever. That the Yetzer Hara couldn't care less if you cry or not, so he doesn't bother. But on important things, things that are not fiction, right, the tragedy went through now, a person with a heart should have shed some tears or whatever, but it's not easy. So the Arizal says that somebody who doesn't cry during Aser Simei Tshuva at some time should check and make sure that he's still alive. What's it called? Because you really have a kesher with your neshama, you're really alive. How can you not cry at some point? So and Yom Kippur comes. So sometimes I feel like, what's it called? Like mamish, like overwhelmed to cry, which is mamish unusual. But I feel so happy at the time. At least I know I'm doing. You know, I have a neshama. I'm still alive. So at the one time I'm crying, at the same time I feel tremendously happy that I'm able to cry. The two things are not contradictory. I'm not jumping up and down with joy when I'm crying, but I'm happy to know that the, what's it called, the crying is the right thing to do. So it's possible for a person to serve the Rebbeinu Shel Yira to be mamish with fear, right, awe, and that's not joy, and at the same time to be very happy that you're able to do that. So they don't go, but that happiness is not, again, jumping up and down. The simcha, what people think is simcha, it's a certain feeling of contentment and satisfaction, that's the word, of knowing you're doing the right thing. We always say that's the pshat of the kablinu b'simcha, when tragedies happen. So you have to make the dayin ho'emes b'simcha. So he said it does not mean that you have to jump up and down and click your heels and say, God, I'm so happy this tragedy happened. Right, and really be mamish as if you just won the lottery. That's first of all absurd. Second of all, it's almost impossible to do, unless you really don't care. You don't, it doesn't make bother you. And nobody ever, like, people have to mourn. How in the world can you be besimcha when you make a dying endless by a levi? Right, there's a mitzvah to cry. There's a mitzvah to mourn. You can't be clicking your heels besimcha. But it means that when you make that bracha, you know you're doing the right thing. You have a certain inner satisfaction that there's a reason why you're crying. There's a reason why this tragedy happened. It didn't happen the nikra. It just didn't happen by happenstance and by coincidence. So I have an inner satisfaction knowing that, first of all, I'm reacting the way I should. I'm crying. It hurts me. And I feel good that I can feel like that. Right? And I know that the Rebbeinu Shel did it for a good purpose. And even though I don't understand it, but I can have a certain satisfaction that the tzara that I'm going through is not in vain. There's a reason why I'm supposed to cry. There's a reason why I'm supposed to feel bad. That's also called simcha. That's the kublinu b'simcha. So, bottom line, simcha is not just being happy, right? Happy-go-lucky. And there's some kind of mitzvah to all around going around, you know, humming a nice song and just being happy. Whatever. It's in any case. So that's not the inyan. The inyan is to be happy about something, and that something should be happy about the fact that you're able to serve the Rebbeinu Shel Olam, and that you're able to react and function the way you're supposed to react. Those are the ikar simchas, and that's a simcha that could be sometimes very well contained and not, you know, being porates outside. It's an inner kind of feeling, but it's a tremendous simcha. You feel tremendously overjoyed at being able to have the schus of doing a mitzvah, right? Even mitzvah deyron b'chaveru, being able to help somebody else. It should give you a certain amount of joy that you're able to do that. And that you know that you're doing the right thing. That's a different kind of joy. And even if the outer emotions are the opposite of simcha, but you know that that's what you're supposed to be feeling, then you can have an inner simcha knowing that you're functioning the proper way. But that's what the maila of simcha is, like the Rambam says, an avoda. It's not stam being happy. Right? Stam is you need to be happy also. But here the inyan of simcha that has to do with chasidus, that has to do with simcha of mitzvah, is the simcha in the mitzvah. It's not a mitzvah to be besimcha, but it's an inyan to be besimcha of a mitzvah. Yeah.
Does that mean understand the Hashivut of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the more you're connecting, the more you're going to be able to be actually
yeah,
happy.
Because the more you'll feel, that's what we say in the morning. Ashreinu matov chelkeinu manoyim. That's how a person should feel. I'm so fortunate, I'm so lucky. The more you know, the more far fortunate you are. The less you know, the less you feel fortunate. I wanted to say a pshat in a medrash. I thought of it today. Completely different pshat in a medrash in this week's sedra. Usually the medrash is quoted in Parshas Vayigash, but it has to do with this week's sedra. Because of that, the pshatim they say in the medrash that have to do with Vayigash, if they don't fit this week's sedra, can't be 100%. Now that I got you confused, I'll tell you what I'm talking about. The medrash says that when Yosef revealed himself to his brothers and he said, Ani Yosef, ha'od avi chai, so the medrash says, Oy lanu miyom adin, oy lanu miyom atolchacha. If the brothers who were older than Yosef couldn't stand up to his rebuke when he said, Ani Yosef, ha'od avi chai, so how are we going to stand up to the rebuke of the Ribbono Shel Olam? So the obvious question, the Beis Halevi speaks about it, is where's the rebuke? All he said is, I'm Yosef, is my father still alive? And secondly, why did he ask if his father's alive? He knew his father's alive, because why are they making such a big deal and bring back Binyamin if the father's dead? So at least they think the father's alive, and they told him already that. So he says his famous pshat, that the idea is that Yosef was telling them, you are inconsistent. You're now pleading with me to let Binyamin go because it's going to affect your poor old father or whatever. How is he going to survive? But I'm Yosef. Remember me? Remember what you did to my father when you made him think I'm dead? How old of you? Has it passed? My father's still alive after what you did to him with me? So when it's convenient for you, you're concerned about your father. When it's not convenient, you forget about your father. That's the same kind of mussar, he says, that the Ribbono Shel Olam is going to give. He's not going to come and give you a whole tirade about what you did wrong. He's going to show you're inconsistent. Person is going to say, I didn't give tzedakah because I was poor. Fine. You were poor, you couldn't give tzedakah. I'm not going to give you a whole mussar shmuz about how important tzedakah is, and even if you're poor, you should give it. But at this and this date, according to my records, you went to this restaurant, this was the bill, this was the tip. If you're such a poor person, where'd you get to go eat in that restaurant? Tzedakah money you didn't have, but for restaurants you did. That's the kind of mussar that's the hardest to answer. So that's what the Beis HaLevi says. There's only one problem with that. There's another part to this medrash, not in every place. But in this week's sedra, the medrash says the same thing, and it says another example. If Bilam couldn't stand up to the musr of his donkey, when the donkey said, Haskein iskanti lasa, do I deserve this? Right? Did I do anything to you that I deserve you hitting me three times? So how are we going to stand up to the musr of the Ribbono Shel Olam? There, lechora, I don't know how you can say the Beis HaLevi's pshat in what the donkey said in that musr. It's not inconsistency, lechora. Even though I could think maybe you could stretch it a little bit, since Bilam lived with this donkey as if it was his wife, and therefore the donkey was saying, you're inconsistent. When you need me, you're my best friend, if not better than that. And when you don't need me, then you hit me when I'm... In any case, I don't know, maybe you could catch the Beis HaLevi into that too. I was thinking of a completely different pshat. Different what the musr of Yosef was. The brothers considered Yosef a threat, an adversary. He had bad intentions, right? His intentions were to, like the Sfarno says, to get them out of the picture, to monopolize and corner Yaakov Avinu's affections to him, and to make them look puzzle in Yaakov's eyes, that he would throw them out or curse them or whatever, just like Yishmael was thrown out, just like Esav was thrown out, right? That was what he was hoping. That's what they thought. So now Yosef tells his brothers, up until now you thought I was your adversary. You looked at me really in a bad light, which is really insulting. Now, I'm Yosef now. Ha'od avichai, that idea that it's my father, and I'm trying to corner him for myself. He didn't say ha'od avinu chai. He knew already, they knew he was their brother. Why didn't he say, is our father alive? Why did he say my father? That idea that you think that I wanted to corner him as my father and take him away from you, is that still alive by you? Look, I could have done anything. If I wanted to kill you, I could have killed you a few times already. Here. Right? Obviously, I'm not your adversary. I have you in my hands. What am I doing? Feeding you, taking care of you. Right? So, that whole concept that you thought that I'm your adversary, in reality, which is a terrible insult to me, it's just the opposite. I'm your benefactor, not your adversary. The same thing goes with the Asan. The Asan said, what's it called? You look as if I'm doing something bad to you, right? You're hitting me because I'm going off the derech and I'm what's it called, making your leg get crushed or whatever. I'm doing you a favor. Because if you would have seen the Amalek that I saw, and I wouldn't have stopped, you would have been killed. So what you think this was, I'm doing you bad. I'm not doing you bad at all. I'm your best friend. Right? What, do I deserve to be hit for that? The same thing the Rabban Shalom give us Musa Lassid Lava. It says, Me'al Bona Shal Mitzvahs. People don't do mitzvahs, think that the Rabban Shalom is like their adversary. Oh, God wants this mitzvah, that mitzvah, and I'll get away with it. I want to do you a favor. What are you trying to get out of the mitzvahs? Or Pisha Shal Torah, to be derelict in learning. I'm not asking you for anything. Right? You're looking at me as an adversary. Right? I'm demanding all these things, making you sit and learn, and making you do mitzvahs. Right, and you're trying to look for ways, you know, get out of it as if I'm the mitzvah is an adversary to, and you have to find a way to get out of it. Right? Is that what it is? I tried to give you, now you see the schar you're going to get for these mitzvahs. I'm not your adversary. This is the best thing that could happen for you, and you looked at it as something to get out of, or whatever, something that you can get away with, because I'm trying to hurt you. Mamash fits in perfectly, and that's El Bona Shal Mitzvah. That's a disgrace, an insult to the mitzvah. It's an insult to the Torah. That's the Musa. Right? It's not so much you didn't do the mitzvah. Okay, you did something bad, Yad Yetzer Hara. But you looked at the mitzvah as something that was negative, that you have to try to get out of. That's an insult to the mitzvah. Same thing with the insult that you think I'm your adversary? I'm your best benefactor. You think that the donkey said, you think I'm hurting you? I'm doing you a favor. I avoided the malach. You would have been killed. And for that, I get hit. So, mamish, I think the same idea.
According to that, what is Olana Yom Din?
No, because the Rav Amishom is going to come, and he's going to tell us, you know, in this world, right, you tried to get out of this mitzvah. You tried to get out of learning Torah because you considered me your adversary, that I'm demanding things from you that are negative. But I'm trying to do you a favor. I give you mitzvahs and Torah as a favor, not as same Musar. That's the Musar. That's the worst kind of Musar. Same Musar Yahushua got. You thought I was your adversary. I'm your biggest benefactor. That's exactly what the Asan said to Bilam. You think I'm trying to hurt you? I was helped you. I saved your life. For that I get hit. The Moshe says, I'm giving you mitzvahs and Torah, and you, what's it called, El Bono Shal Mitzvahs. You try to get out of them. So what are you saying? If I can get out of this mitzvah, then I don't have to, the Rav Moshe is really trying to put something on me, and I can, you know, fool him, or I can get out of it, I'm doing myself a favor. Because the Rav Moshe really is doing me not a favor by giving me these mitzvahs, or making me learn Torah. You're looking at me as somebody who is an adversary, and you're trying to get out of it. When the fact is that I gave you the mitzvahs and the Torah as your benefit, not as an adversary. Okay. Same exact mitzvah.
Why is that such a tremendous busha? And maybe because the Mishnah Sharm said at the beginning, the three types of people, but that's not it's only the...
No, that's the worst kind of tochacha a person can get. You turn the Rabban Shalom, who's trying to do you a favor, trying to give you chayei netzah, giving you benefits, and you turn him into an adversary and turn it around completely. That's an insult. That's El Bona Shal Mitzvahs. It's not just you didn't do the mitzvah, Yad Yetzer Hara, right? But here's a different story. You didn't do the mitzvah, or you did the Avera because you thought you're getting away with something, and the Rebbe is trying to hurt you by not letting you do this Avera, by forcing you to do this mitzvah. That's much worse than just stop doing an Avera, stop not doing a mitzvah. So that kind of tochach is Oylanu Miyom Adin, right? If the brothers couldn't stand up when Yosef told them, you considered me an adversary. What an insult. I'm your best benefactor. Same thing with the Asan. Same thing, Lost in Love, what the Rav was going to say. It's not just you didn't do mitzvahs. You considered that I'm trying to do something to you. Right? And you're trying to get out of it, right, to benefit yourself, because I'm trying to hurt you. I'm not trying to hurt you. I'm just the opposite. I'm giving you mitzvahs. I'm giving you an opportunity. I'm not putting a liability on you. Mama's just saying the same idea.